Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. How are you doing? I'm back from vacation. It's been 4 days. Oh, my God, this vacation was tiring. It was exhausting. This is one of those vacations where I come back from it more tired, I would say, than I would usually be just doing the show with you guys. Fucking vacations. You gotta hate them. It was fun because I came back from Quebec with cheese, came back with dry sausages of the highest level, came back with smoked meat from Schwartz. I've been going to see family, enjoyed time with everyone, kids, all the people of the family. And now I need a break. Now I need a break because it's all very exhausting. You know, keeping everyone entertained, maintaining the social interactions and all. Lots of speculation have been happening while I was gone. Some people thought I would be expecting Coach Red Pill at the Hungary border, and that's why I took a vacation. Sorry to disappoint you. Coach Red Pill didn't make it through the Hungary border. Based on everything available, we can conclude this because he had told us in his video, I will publish a video as soon as I cross. So if I don't publish a video, it means I've been caught. That's one piece of evidence. Second piece of evidence, the SBU trans spokesperson has dog whistled to their crowd that they have captured Gonzalo Lira. There are other people reporting on Twitter that they have information that he was captured. I think it's safe to assume that he was most likely captured at this point, captured by the SBU, and that his plan to escape Ukraine has not worked. We'll talk about all this. There was other speculation. People were thinking that I was going to see woman. I don't need any woman in my life right now. As I said, I will consider insemination request, but I am not going to try to run toward woman or try to find one or actively try to solicit love in my life. I'm pretty happy at this point. And there's no reason for me to waste that happiness by trying to get into the dating game again. That being said, Lorenza's speculation was very correct. So Lorenza, you understood exactly what I was going to do in Quebec. I've been shocked by seeing Quebec again, honestly, during those vacations. I've been shocked by how much I have integrated a different life at this point, living in the wilderness, living further away from civilization. Just the way the stores, the commerce, the commercial streets are arranged, the noise, the overpopulation, the packing of people in villages, house after house after house, no place for trees, no place for nature. I was totally mind blown. Because it's where I come from. It shouldn't shock me. I've been spending most of my life in Quebec. But you realize just how overpopulated Quebec is when you come back to it after living in the wild. I'm sure that it leads to serious mental issues because I was feeling confused by just entering in a fast food entry. I was like, there's like there's five different way to enter that parking. Only one of them is the right one because there's this other store and this other store right beside the fast food. It's crowded. It is very heavy. And I'm glad to be back home, back safe. It feels good. It feels like really in the wilderness of Canada, I've finally achieved a feeling of home, of being home, despite the fact that I've just been here since 2019. So overall, it should feel more like home in Quebec, but it doesn't. How are you doing, people of the regular chat? Rodri Acid says he shouldn't have announced where he was going, or maybe said he was going to Poland and went to Hungary or something. Silver Spider says, captured again, Jesus Christ. Yes, well, he tried to do a bold move because that's what the situation he was in was calling for. It wasn't as bold as I expected. I mean, let's get to it because let's talk about everything because I want to make it into a clip. Before we get into the SBU/Gonzalo Lira story, a reminder that you can support the show by using the dollar button under the Odyssey chat. Odyssey Super Chats are my favorite way to receive support for the show. Make sure you add a payment method in your Odyssey account to see that option. Alternatively, feel free to use Entropy or Cointree. The links to them are in the description below. Go Away says, dude, I just love the hustle and bustle of the big city. It's so dynamic and makes me feel like I'm in one of my favorite TV shows. You should totally come on down to my studio apartment. It's got exposed red brick walls and everything. We can crack open a nice hoppy IPA or three and get crazy. Why? What? You either crack open one IPA or three? Do you have a problem with even numbers? What is it? You want to feel hipster, you want to feel original, and you feel that two is too much of a normie number? One or three beers, but not two. All right, let's get started. So our friend Gonzalo Lira, Coach Red Pill, has very much probably been captured. We can conclude this based on what the officials of the Ukrainian side are appearing to announce. And, you know, I can confirm that this is you can see objectively that this is an officer of the Ukrainian side, since they are trans. And we know which side the LGBT community has taken in this conflict. And this person seems to indicate, tries to dog whistle, or doesn't say it very clearly, but indicates that Gonzalo Lira has been captured.
With his so-called attempts at asylum in Hungary. There's a reason you haven't heard from Gonzalo Lira yet. With his so-called attempts at asylum in Hungary. It's because the state security services, better known as the SBU, are some of the most talented and focused law enforcement agents across the globe. And in doing so, they knew where Gonzalo Lira was. There's a reason you have...
This is a fucking nightmare. I mean, that's how hell feels. People were making jokes on my tweet about this. They were saying, you want to know what the future looks like? a trans boot stomping onto your face forever. No, it is not a joke, Asferia. they are kind of saying, you know, if you do like Gonzalo Lira, you're going to get in trouble. Our people are very competent. You didn't need to be competent to catch Gonzalo Lira, because he decided to go in the open way. He decided to show himself at the border with Hungary. That's what he explains in his video. Show himself at the border of Hungary and just hope that somehow he wouldn't come up in a computer system. He showed himself to the Ukrainian authority. So it's not like you've traced him and you've detected him with some satellite tracking or whatever. Gonzalo Lira has decided to try the clean way to enter Hungary. Not such a wise choice, if you want my opinion. But when you're in these situations, sometimes there is no perfect choice. People were pointing out, why didn't you go to the front line, Coach? And Coach has an explanation on this. He says, the front line is too dangerous. You need basically a soldier to accompany you. and he couldn't find someone of that level of competence that would take him through the front line. And he says the whole 1,000 kilometer long of the front line is all under heavy surveillance, and it's not as easy as just walking in the forest. They have cameras. They will track you. He said he didn't want to go to the European side, like Poland or whatever other countries he could have gone to, because that would put him... There's too much of a strength. There's too much of a strong alliance binding these countries with Ukraine and the potential... calls of Ukraine for him to be repatriated. If I were him, I would have considered Moldova. I would have considered Moldova in the Transnistrian region. That might have been the best bet to make. But he didn't explain in the video why he didn't go there. But in the Transnistria region is a very low population, revolted part of Moldova, and Moldova is a poor country. They wouldn't have much capacities to, and from there, from the Transnistria region, he could have found a boat, perhaps an access to get to a boat that would have led him into Russian territory, and from there he could have found safety. But, I'm not criticizing, because when you are in those situations of high nervousness, Coach Red Pill has been oppressed for his speech and political thought. Coach Red Pill has been tortured in jail. He has been tortured with heavy punches that left heavy damage on his chest. He has been tortured by toothpick scratching the whites of the eye. With the intent of extorting him to force him to give money to the prisoner and the SBU collaborators and the guard collaborators that they knew he had 140,000 in his PayPal account. They had monitored some connections of him to the internet, and somehow they knew that there was 140K in his PayPal account, but of course PayPal wouldn't give them the money, and so they decided to torture Coach Red Pill, who is currently a political prisoner. He hasn't committed any crime, and they have decided to torture him for half of that sum. That sum had been accumulated by Coach Red Pill from his Patreon donors across the years, because Coach Red Pill didn't need that money because he's relatively rich. And so he had let this PayPal accumulation of 140K. I knew how for Coach his Patreon was very important, but it wasn't the money. For him, it was the love. It was the love of people, and it was the... He was proud to have achieved, to have mounted this base of support that were willing to show their support to him by throwing money, but it wasn't the money he was after. To him, it was heartwarming. Every dollar that could build into his Patreon account. And so they successfully extorted him of 70K. It's impossible, by the way, for a prisoner out of nowhere in Ukraine to know that you have 140K in your PayPal account, and therefore to know that asking for half of it is very likely to lead to success. So I think it's evidence that there has been heavy corruption. There has been corruption at the highest levels of their intelligence system, and they have ordered these guards, these prisoners and guards, to both torture Coach Red Pill and turn a blind eye to these events of torture. It shows you the state of Ukraine. I mean, we're talking about a country that claims to be the forefront of European values in the fight against a tyrannical Vladimir Putin in Russia. Fuck this bullshit. Ukraine is the most corrupt country in the white world, probably one of the most corrupt countries in the world, and it's absolutely ridiculous to be sending any money there. It is a shithole country, and it shows its shithole status in what they are doing here with a political tinker. Absolute shithole status. Now, Richard Spencer, which I think it's a bad take. Richard Spencer says, Gonzalo, you have no right to enter a country as a guest and then proceed to spread demoralization and enemy propaganda while it is being invaded. The fact that you're alive demonstrates that Zelensky is a generous man, hardly the gangster you make him out to be. Well, I said to Richard on this, I get what where you're coming from, Richard. I mean, this has been expressed across the years. Richard has been very stable on this, this take against free speech. He's been saying it in very different situations. He's been maintaining the idea that basically might is right, even in the domain of speech. I said to him, I get where you're coming from, Richard, but could you not acknowledge that there is value here in at least providing a public demonstration of the dissonant views of those who say that Ukraine is the side of democracy against tyranny? And yet, where things like this happen, I think it's the value of what Coach is making here. He's showing that if you extend the front of Europe toward anything, just out of hate for the Russians or out of geopolitical consideration, if you extend the European / American / NATO empire to points where it doesn't belong, you will end up siding with people who cannot be said to be sharing the values that are at the very root of your civilization, at least the good side of Europe, the good side of America, what led to their success, values of freedom, liberalism, and free thought. Dino Lugovic says, if you are a journalist and not in detention or jail, you belong on the shopping channel. Change your job title to whore. Wow, that is, for a $3 super chat, Dino Lugovic, you're going very hard on me. Because here I am, a journalist, not in a detention. And so, do I belong to the shopping channel? Let me know on the regular chat if you agree with Dino Lugovic. I will immediately submit my resume to the shopping channel. So Gonzalo Lira, I think he chose to make a bold move in a situation where he knows he's not going to get due process. He knows it's arbitrary rule under martial law, and he knows that this whole circus of a trial isn't even worth going through and hoping anything. He knows he's going to end in a labor camp for enough years that he will die there. And so he decided to make a bold move. Not bold enough, in my view. In my view, the technique here would have been to go in the underwoods at night, be stealthy, and try to cross in the Transnistria region rather than the Hungary region. But even if he had chosen Hungary to just show up at the big door, that wasn't a project that had much chance to work. I mean, to basically hope for a bureaucratic error. I mean, to the credit of Coach Red Pill here, we're talking about Ukraine. We're talking about Ukraine. But, you know, backed up by American intelligence, American budget, and Elon Musk's Starlink satellite. So it's weird because Ukraine on their own, I wouldn't put them above you know, not making a bureaucratic error that would have left a door open for Coach to leave. But the combination of the paranoia of the war, the controls on immigration, and presumably they got so much funding that they must be somehow equipped in computer systems. It was very unlikely that he would make it through the official channel. But that's the way Coach decided to go. He decided to... I would have just... You have to force your way through. You can't stop at the post. You either have to go full John Rambo in the woods, and understandably, and yes, I understand the point of Coach that there are cameras everywhere, but you have to take this into account. There are cameras, all right, but you are at a certain distance from where they catch you. So you have to win that. You have to play on that distance. It takes a certain time for them to get to you. And the more you go into woody areas, the more it's hard for them to get off the road to get to you. And you have to use that time advantage to your side. I would have either driven at 200 kilometers an hour through the post and just try to make it physically into Hungary, or I would have gone the foresty way, John Rambo style, like hanging from the trees and ready to jump onto SBU agents and setting traps for SBU agents. That is what I would have gone for. But Coach Red Pit has his own style, and you know, not everyone is like me. I've been spending my childhood setting traps in the wood. For not traps for animals, human traps. I've been, when I was a kid, I mean, it was insane. I wanted to protect my wood, my forest. I was setting up these insane traps. I mean, there would be a whole tree. A whole tree could fall onto you and kill you. At some point, I walked into one of my own traps. It was so well set up. I had taken the time to fully chop a big, big tree. I had laid the tree so that it would rest as if it was still planted. And then I had attached a little rope, and in a place that I expected people to pass, I had attached a little rope to the tree and to the other tree, so that when you were stepping on that rope or you were lifting that rope with your feet, the tree would do BAM! And I got that tree right in the face. I was something like 9 years old. That's where I realized the power of my traps, the danger of the material I was working with. But yeah, that's the kind of thing you need to go for. so yeah, I'm happy that Coach, you know, lived to do his attempt. I believe he is now captured. He's going to go through a whole process that's meant to demoralize him and to not give him due process. And yes, I agree with his appeal at the end of this video. We should make a fuss about it.
That's why I went to prison. And that's why, if I'm arrested again, I will die in prison. So I ask you, please, as many people as possible, the American State Department knows exactly who I am and the situation I'm currently involved in. And they know the fate that awaits me. They know it. You know, they have that saying that, I forget the wording exactly. You know, I'm a little stressed out, as you can imagine, but they have that saying that people are fundamentally good, but for evil to triumph, all you need is the indifference of good people. Please don't be indifferent to my fate. I ask you this very humbly. Please recognize that, well, the literal death that awaits me if this doesn't work out. Understand what's going on.
All right, so those are the last words, the last three words of Coach Red Pill. He may never be able to speak to us again. He may be killed by the SBU. He may be a prisoner forever in a way that doesn't allow communication. So it's great to that he had this motorcycle ride. It's sad that it didn't work. Rodita Sid says, I mean, if they kill him in prison, at least he will know he was right. Yeah, exactly. I totally have respect for people choosing their manner of death. And CRP has chosen his manner of death. He has chosen to make a point with his death. And compare this with most people. I mean, most people die in their urine in some old people's auspices. You know, it's not like you're not going to do anything amazing with your death. And here we have Coach Red Pill doing something amazing with his death. So respect to him. And yes, Ukraine is not a light bringer of democracy, nor is it a country we should ever collaborate with, nor is it a country we should ever trust on anything. We have someone who's taking McDonald's way too emotionally. This is my local McDonald's. And he publishes a photo here. Like, this is it. Do you realize? I just left there without ordering. And I will never eat/order from there again. Let me tell you why. Oh, I'm interested. Why? First off, you see those McDonald's arches right at the top of the building. Right underneath those arches was a big play place for kids to frolic and interact. Tunnels, slides, tic-tac-toe, the whole nine yards. It stood for decades. Parents would banter and gossip about small town news, sports, and happening. And then, with no rhyme or reason, they tore it down. Holy shit, bro. Just take a Big Mac to go and get to the park. Eat your Big Mac in the park. Your kids will be able to play in the park. What the fuck? I told this guy, you're being too emotional about it, bro. You can't expect to pay your meal $7 and that somehow they'll find the budget to handle all of the risks associated with kids playing in large tubes. Just stop worrying and learn to love the Big Mac for what it is. You know, it's an inefficient thing to do to have kids play places in a place with corporate responsibility if your kids hurt themselves. It's a better arrangement to have a public place where they can send your kid and then they will give you the Big Mac meal to go so you can go check your kids playing while you eat your Big Mac. Now, if your kid hurts himself in the public park, you won't be able to sue the public park. So they have gotten rid of the liability. Relax. Yes, Stephen Robinson, I have heard that the SEC is going after Richard Hart. Well, I mean, if that's true, I'm looking for the news here. Richard Hart sued by the SEC. Hart raised more than $1 billion in the unregistered offer and sale of crypto asset securities to retail investors in the U.S. and abroad. Hart engaged in three separate offerings, Hex, Pullchain, and PulseX. Listen, I have always said that the way Richard Hart has gathered has funded his projects very much fell within the rules of securities, that it was probably illegal, that they would likely go after him, or I was like, if they don't go after him, then they'll not go after anyone. They won't go after anyone. And yes, that probably means that Hex will be done in terms of value. So I had put $40 in Hex. It had become a huge amount of money at some point. I decided to keep them. So it went back to a low amount of money. What can I say? I should have sold at the peak. That's one thing I will learn about these meme coins and these altcoins. You have to catch the first wave because it's not going to come back. Like, very unlikely that a meme coin will have 2-3 successful waves. Most likely those meme coins and those altcoins, they have their first wave. You might be able to cash in on it very quick, but then it's going to go away because of some events like this. Richard Hart, in my view, the way he raised, the way he raised money, it's like he was competing fairly with all other buyers of Hex, but competing fairly in payments to himself. So it's like, hey, Steven, I'm going to give you the JF coin, but you have to send me a certain amount of dollars. And your amount of dollars will give you an equivalent number of JF coins as your percentage representation in the flow of money that gets to me. But I will compete with you now in terms of sending myself money. So whenever you send me $1, I'll take that dollar and I'll send it back to myself. And now what's this situation? You cannot win. You cannot have a higher percentage of donation to the system than I, because all the money you send me is costing you actual money, but for me it's free because it's money I'm sending to myself. Anyways, that is the issue with the Richard Hart raise. And people will have to learn that degenerate raises, they threaten the stability of your coin, because when down the line the SEC sues you, your coin is going to go to shit. It's going to go to zero. So stop being degenerate and getting into those high-risk coins with all your money. You are putting them at risk, and if there's one error made in the process, if their promoters have gone too aggressive, if they've done a little trick, you end up paying the price for it. Dino Logovic says, JF, anyone like you who has suffered censorship or difficulties does not belong in my harsh but accurate category. Okay. So I am in the cage of censorship. Real Base Talk sends $5. He says, welcome back from vacation. We missed you. Much love. Yeah, thanks. I'm happy to be back. You know what I'm most happy about tonight is when the show will end, I'm going to sleep right away. Sometimes, I can spend hours continuing to do research, continuing to prepare for tomorrow. Tonight, I'm going to sleep because, holy shit, I'm crazy a little bit in my driving. Sometimes I set a schedule for my driving and I'm like, okay, I'm going to go in the morning and I'm going to drive. But then I realize, oh my God, there's a way I can maximize my vacation. What if I don't wait for the morning? What if I... And so, what I ended up doing? What was it? Friday? Saturday night, I did the show here. And I had all of my car prepared before the show. And as soon as I ended up the show, I left. So I drove all night I drove all night and all morning and afternoon and a little later, more than 17 hours of driving right after the show without sleeping. And so I ended up maybe being awake for 40 hours total just to get that extra 8 hours of vacation with my family. And I don't regret, but it's very tiring because you end up having a super tight schedule and then it's like you have to drive back. So I drove back to home starting Monday night and made it back home. All right, what else do we have in the news? Prime Minister of Canada, Justin Trudeau. Speaker's Corner says, what percentage of your net worth was X at the top and what is it now? Close to zero. I've never had serious amounts of X. I like the performance of my $40. My $40 became a couple thousand dollars. But I think at some point, I think I could have sold it for $8,000. But it's always been an extremely small portion of my net worth. So don't worry about it. I do not give a shit. I've never cared about what would happen to that X. Some random bloke sends a super chat. Thank you so much for the support. He says, welcome back, JF. Have you been monitoring what's happening in South Africa? So I've been kind of seeing it on my feed while I was in vacation. It's all this white genocide trending that happened on Twitter. I've only superficially followed this. So it's basically the fact that there are supposedly hate speech laws in South Africa, but they're not getting applied on literally black people singing, let's kill white people. And the defense that the left is doing of this that I saw was like, it's just a traditional song. It's like art. You don't understand art. Why do these defenses never work when it's a white person trying them? Like, it's like, okay, well, if it's art, isn't it art that we censor on our with our YouTube bannings and with our copy, with our strikes and with our hate speech strikes and with our Twitter bannings? It's always art. What I do is art too. But of course, I don't expect a rational engagement on this question, but I do have to read more deeply about what is the current situation in South Africa. I'm pretty sure it's a bunch of white people dying violently, but I guess I have to get myself more informed to know exactly in which circumstance they're dying. Of course, it must be some of the murders that we've covered years ago on this show. It must be just the continuation of this. Doubting Thomas has sent a super chat. Thank you so much for your generous support. He says, regarding TRP, a challenge not discussed is the complexity of the creamplex plus informational capacity of the original replicator. A minimum should be required to produce a self-replicating phenotypic machine. No, maybe sufficient for DNA/RNA, but how about RNA/protein and protein/quantum states? Well, I agree with your reading. Basically, you are at risk of a phenotypic revolution only when something in your environment is a better information encoder/storer than yourself, than the replicator on which you are based. That I absolutely agree, and I've said as much orally. I didn't say it in these words in the Revolutionary Phenotype, but I did point out that there were various ways in which a phenotype can win against the native replicator once the replicator tango has been established. And that likely it was all of the very same reasons for which a replicator tango was originally preferable. They will also make a self-replicating version of the top layer more preferable also. Like, if you tell me that a replicator has evolved into a replicator tango because it was more stable against mutation, well, the fact that it's more stable against mutation for a moment makes it also the case that if you were to spend no time at all in the native replicator, if you were to spend, if your genome was to spend no time at all in the RNA form, then DNA would win against RNA. And the mutational advantage of DNA would show up in a natural selection contest. So yes, I fully agree with your analysis here. The creamplex must be complex, but the word complex, you have to go more detailed than this. Not just complex. It has to be complex, better storer of information, capable of holding that information, capable of holding that information until meaningful replication has occurred. Those are the requirements for a phenotypic revolution to happen. Prime Minister Justin Trudeau and wife announced on Instagram that they are separating after 18 years. 18 years of marriage. What is there to say about this? I mean, this Justin Trudeau has a hateable face. Whatever that's sad that can happen to him is kind of something to read, to be happy about. But does he even experience this as a sad event? I have no idea. Some people were suggesting that they will both be going out with other men. They will both leave each other for some other men. Maybe Justin Trudeau can can change lifestyle here. Maybe he's going to veer publicly homosexual. I don't know. I don't know. But it's always fun when a leftist ends up paying the price of their own destruction of the family structure. And so, but the problem is people of the establishment like this, they typically don't end up with the crazy wife that will make false allegations and that will take the kids from him. And very often, people like Elon Musk, they are so busy with their work, their political work in the case of Justin Trudeau, or their corporate work in the case of Elon Musk, they are so busy with it that they kind of give up the very idea of having a true split custody. And so they never get to the point where their rights are violated because they don't even ask for their rights to be respected. They don't even try the family courts. So I don't know that Justin Trudeau will spend much time with his children. You know, he's probably going to be content with the leftist norm, which is you get to see your child once a month and your wife, your ex makes all of the decisions for them. A worker that was fired over refusal to receive the COVID-19 vaccine wins his job back. The University of Virginia wrongly fired an employee who refused to receive a COVID-19 vaccine, according to a new ruling. The university acted in an arbitrary and capricious manner when it fired Casey McCoy, a cytotechnologist, in 2021. Why didn't we get legal intervention before? Do people have to go through years of suffering every time our politicians have the idea of abolishing our rights? Trigmamel sends a super chat. He says, Jeff, what kind of car do you drive? I drive a Toyota Corolla. I love how cheap it was to purchase a new one in cash. I save quite a bit of money in MPG and lower insurance due to driving a car. But if you want to see my car that I use to drive and the car that I have, it is a Mitsubishi Mirage, and I had made a show about it. You must have missed it. Go check out my show Mitsubishi Mirage, a review, because I reviewed the car when I bought it cash and new. Just like you, I am totally a cash buyer of cars. I don't like loans. I don't like dependence. I don't like paying interest. I don't even like loans when they're 0% interest. The Mitsubishi Mirage is probably more extreme in the Toyota Corolla style than even the Toyota Corolla is. Because at this point, Toyota Corolla cost a little too much. But what you were interested in the Toyota Corolla, right now, you'll probably get this from a Mitsubishi Mirage. It's the cheapest car. It's been totally reliable to me. Never had a repair up to now. Of course, I've been just having it for, 1 year, 2 years? I don't know exactly. But it's been delivering. I'm super happy about it. Super low gas cost. It's insane. Just how little gas I had to pay. Even at the high price with the Canadian taxes on it, it didn't cost me very much to go see my family. So that is very appreciated to have this liberty. Elon Musk was announcing something special is coming soon, and people started speculating, is it Kanye West who has been unbanned? Was Elon Musk saying something special is coming soon in the sense that Ye is going to be back to Twitter, or was he referring to something else? I have no idea, but apparently, yes, Kanye West has been unbanned. What does that mean? What does that mean? Does Elon Musk accept anti-Semitism on Twitter now? Or is he saying it wasn't anti-Semitism because the swastika was embedded in a Raelian symbol? You know, it was kind of the swastika mixed in with a Jewish symbol to kind of illustrate a sort of unity between people who hate each other very much, or a unity of the religions as it is envisioned by Rael. Anyways, I don't know what this unbanning means. But Kanye West is back on Twitter. Did he tweet anything? That is the question. Yay. Kanye West. Let's go check out his Twitter account. No, there is nothing on his Twitter account. No tweet. Zero following. 31.6 million followers. Is it related to Ye having purchased? This account is verified because it's an official organization on X. Is it related to Kanye West? Because this is not the check mark that you would inherit from having a celebrity check mark. It's not the check mark that you would inherit from having Twitter blue. Is it possible that Kanye West bot is unbanning from Twitter by saying to Elon Musk, I'm going to purchase a corporate organization type of subscription to Twitter, maybe $1,000, $10,000 per month. I don't know. I know that it's a big amount. I know it's a ridiculously big amount to have the golden check. Bird Flu says, it says Kanye West under the name. Yes, it does say this, but his name is Ye now. It's possible that Ye has some kind of plan to be selling pants on Twitter, and that Elon Musk got excited about the idea that a Kanye West could help his whole turning of Twitter into a multi-platform kind of app of everything. And perhaps Kanye will be the initiator of this kind of turn to commercialization that Elon Musk wants to see from Twitter. In any case, I'm happy that Ye has gotten his voice back. Mr. Beast. This is an interesting story. Mr. Beast is suing a fast food company over the revolting burger. It's amazing how much of a shit show this burger thing that Mr. Beast is involved in. It's amazing just how much of a shit show it has become. Because I had heard some trouble. I had heard there was conflict around this burger. So Mr. Beast appeared. I remember back in those days. I don't even know how much time ago it was. Maybe 1 year ago, maybe more. I remember Mr. Beast was starting a whole brand. There was a whole brand, and this was the restaurant recommended by Mr. Beast. It was the Mr. Beast Burger, and you would go there, and you would get burgers that are approved by Mr. Beast. And I believe that the feedback on this burger was terrible. People were totally not satisfied. Basically, that's what happens when out of your $20 that's meant to pay for the bread, the ketchup, the burger, the cheese, if you take $4 of that $20 and you send it to a fucking YouTuber, there's only $16 left to buy the bread, to pay the cook, to buy for to pay for everything that's related to making a good burger. So, of course, when Mr. Beast recommends a burger, it's going to be worse than if Ronald McDonald does it. Why? Because Ronald McDonald is in-house. He's basically a hopeless employee of McDonald. If McDonald decides to drop Ronald, there's nothing to save him. I mean, he's going to end up unemployed. Whereas Mr. Beast is this outside entity that's draining money from a bunch of people who have no talent in cooking. And all they have is really, we're going to brand this burger with Mr. Beast and somehow it's going to work. Of course, you end up with this situation where the burger becomes so bad that Mr. Beast is asking to a judge to dissolve his contract. But I say you should pay the price of what you caused there. You have been involved in something that is not good for the people, and you've not thought it through. When I do corporate stuff, when people ask me for counseling, or I give counseling to people engaged in various businesses, I encourage them to think about this through. Are you bringing any value? Are you doing something that will facilitate the world, or are you making it worse? Mr. Beast, you are making the world worse. You're making burgers worse. And to try to get away from your contract that you have signed just because you are faced with the very failure of your own doing, to me, is a no-no. You should be bound by this contract, and this poor burger should poorly reflect on Mr. Beast forever. I say that we should hold these terrible burgers in museums of food and business as examples of what not to do. Do not try to just be a brand. Do not try to just be a brand where there are no savings to be made. There's not a special opportunity. See, Gordon Ramsay having a restaurant, that makes sense. First, because he has special knowledge, special wisdom that will make, for the same price, he's going to get you a better burger on the plate than if it was anyone else. So he's got the wisdom. Now, he can even turn the restaurant improving or the restaurant affairs into a TV show. Now you get exposures for the restaurant. You get cash in from the producing of the show. You may even get more attention through the TV than you through the cable TV networks and the YouTube than you even get for the burgers themselves. Gordon Ramsay having a restaurant makes absolute sense because he knows how to scratch the bottoms of the drawer for content, for exposure, for good business, use the wisdom to make a slightly better burger for a slightly lower price and just a slightly better than competition. Combine this with a massive advantage over advertising and brand association and an audience base that is willing to binge watch anything that he produces, you are in business. But take Mr. Beast and just the fact that he's a YouTuber, knows nothing about cooking, knows nothing about burger. All he has is that there are people clicking on his videos. That is not enough. It's not enough of that magic. And so be careful in business. Make sure that the magic you're trying to create is actually inherently better for society and not an obstacle to society getting what it wants, which in this case is a burger. Steven Robinson says, Jeff, do you have an opinion on the Lizzie banana scandal? So according to the information I was sent, the Lizzie banana scandal goes as follows. There are employees of hers. Let me quote it straight from the tweet that I made about it. I know, Ted, you know, I leave the internet for 4 days and Lizzo is even fatter than when I come back than she was before. Unbelievable. I mean, that's a bigger Lizzo than... Lizzo is big, okay? Lizzo has always been big. She's always been a woman with large bones. You know... That's what you need those bones. You need those bones to play the flute the way she does. That is just what it is for good performance on the flute. You just need those bones. But that is gigantic. That is like 3 seats on the plane. That being said, what is the story? The story is she made us eat bananas out of sex workers' vaginas. Lizzo is facing a bombshell lawsuit from her backing dancers. So she was taking pleasure in hiring prostitutes. Now you have to picture this. So thank God these prostitutes had a vagina, because you never know these days. So that's like... It could have been worse. It could have been worse. But these prostitutes had vaginas, and she was taking pleasure in inserting bananas in those vaginas and having her backing dancers. So I guess those are male dancers. So she was using those male dancers as sex objects. And she... Like, probably she, I don't know what's the status on fucking Lizzo. Probably not viable. So I guess that her sexual pleasure was in, instead of getting fucked, because you need a very long dick to get through 3 different ripples of fat before you would attain her vagina. So she has decided to take sexual pleasure instead in the purviewing of banana-sucking action by males sucking bananas from inside female prostitutes, banana bearing vaginas. I get, does that make sense? Did I explain it correctly here? You ask me for my opinion on this? Bad. Don't do this. All right, all right. We're getting advanced through the clips. I'm producing the news. Oh my God, I felt like this show was going to be hard to go through because I really feel tired. I've been yawning, as people noted earlier, but now I'm already feeling out of the vacation mood. I'm feeling more energetic than at the beginning of the show. Somehow my vacation made me super tired, and doing the show restores my energy. Isn't that amazing? $9 billion spent on salmon recovery in Oregon has produced few discernible results. Of course, that is all a scam of the environmentalists. They just want to you throw money at them for free that you've taken from people's wallets through tax. And all they will do with it is pay themselves. Oh, I'm going to pay myself to study this. Oh, here we're going to pay someone else to study that. And here we're going to pay some other researcher to determine. If, and you end up having zero effect on the salmon. You're not going to save salmon with government money. All news in Canada will be removed from Facebook, Instagram within weeks, according to Meta. Discovering news articles and videos on Facebook and Instagram will soon become a relic of the past, as Meta announced it is officially ending news availability in Canada. I'm starting to be worried about this. Are they going to be coming for Elon Musk? I hope not. I hope not. And I hope that I wouldn't be like, will they say Papa JF is news? And so we can't serve it in Canada? That would be dramatic. If I lost the ability to share my video because they would argue it's a news show, it's Canadian, therefore you have to pay JF 1 cent per impression of his link. Like, first, I don't care about getting the cent. The Canadian government would be trying to force Elon to pay me 1 cent per link. And then Elon would say, all right, fuck you, Canada. Fuck you, JF. I'm not showing JF's tweets anymore. Can you imagine? It seems to be what could happen. It seems to be what we could be headed for. Because the incompetence of the Canadian government, they might end up censoring me by caring too much, basically, by trying to get me more money as a newsman. Of course, they never wanted this to happen, but accidentally they would have given me more money because I'm a newsman. But now Elon would revolt and I would end up stuck between basically a Canada versus Elon Musk war, and my tweets would get zero views. John Drake says, that's Trudeau's plan. Well, it sucks. Terrible plan, Trudeau. Stop it now. There has been another indictment of Donald Trump while I was on vacation. Conspiracy to defraud the United States, conspiracy to obstruct an official proceeding, obstruction of an attempt to obstruct an official proceeding, and conspiracy against rights. Much of what they accuse him of will be, to me, is not criminal. You can wonder, hey, do I have the right to do this? You can say to a lawyer, hey, can you do some research on whether I can do this? But if you are motivated by honor and the respect of the law, this cannot be construed as an attack to the country, as a willful violation of the law. To the contrary, it's a government official trying to determine how do I best respect the law. So I think that much of what Trump has been doing falls within that category. But in the current political framework, they might very well find a jury that's able to hate Trump enough that they would find him guilty of all this. So it really sucks. It really sucks that that they are doing this. They are trying to make it impossible for Trump to run or for him to be focused enough on his campaign. So they're creating all this pressure on him that they can. Bird Flu Williams says, "Oh, JF, the government of Canada has noticed you do not promote the values of strength through diversity, and as such, we are unable to monetize your videos." I mean, it's looking like, I mean, I've always been a guy who cares for myself. So to me, any intervention of the Canadian government to make life better for journalists is probably bad news for me. Because first, they're probably not going to count me as a journalist, or they're probably going to attach the status of journalist as needing some kind of registry requirement. And there's going to be negative consequences for me to get into that registry, such as exposing myself to human rights tribunals, that kind of stuff, you know? So all in all, any action of the federal government on thought and culture is always bad news for me. It's always good news for the cucked cable TV, you know, pundits who are the official voices of the communist government of Trudeau. So in general, I take any sort of attempt by them to be eventually potentially wrecking my life. Trans Indigenous Canadian slams doctors for denying her euthanasia request, saying that death would be better than her constant pain from a surgically built vagina. So I'm very sad that she didn't get this this death request. It's that's funny, right? Because it's funny in a dark way. It's funny to consider that the government of Canada has been so permissive on reasons you could invoke for dying, for getting that help to suicide. You can be depressed, you can be old, you can have cancer, you can be in any situation that you won't get out of and you're convinced you won't get out of it, and they will just allow you to die. But if your despair now is caused by the most sacred surgery of all, basically the trans surgery, then you're going after the system. Then you're going to have to suffer through. I'm very moved by this story because I had personally written to Lois Cardinal back in the days when her story got a lot of exposure, that she was applying for this aid in dying program, the MAID program of Canada, because I know that she had said that she didn't have much family, much people she knew about. And she had said that it was bothering her that she has to get a letter from someone who knows her to kind of advocate for her in this process and advocate that she should get the right to die. And I had written to her back in the days. I had said, if you want me to help you get through that process, if you need me to write a letter to the Canadian government, I can do it. I can make a convincing case that you should be killed through this official MAID program because that's what you want. She didn't answer my offer. So somehow it's like, I told you so. You should have hired Papa Jeff. I was willing to do it for free. I was willing to drive there if need be, to evaluate her situation and make a case for her. But she refused my help, and so there you are. You accepted a lesser quality letter. Maybe it would be worth for you to try again, Lois Cardinal. If you want to try it again, I will write the letter this time, and I'll get you taken care of. Watch Tucker's explosive Devon Archer interview admits Joe knew that business associates were on call. But yeah, I mean, this we've gone through this again and again. This has been in the news cycle for months in different form. It's like people keep being, can you believe it? There is really a bribery scheme going on with Joe Biden and Hunter Biden. It's like, yeah, the evidence of this, the uncontestable evidence of this was available before the Joe Biden election. The first stories that came out of the Hunter Biden laptop back in the days were already very clear. We had the messages, 10 for the big guy. We had all of this. And so you can reinvestigate and recreate the news all you want. That's not news anymore. Joe Biden is corrupt. He is enacting a whole system of bribery with his crackhead son. That has been pretty clear. All right. So we're headed toward the end of the show. I was laughing my ass off this morning. BBC launches an experimental Mastodon server. It's like the leftists have now to create their own website. And this was the right wing back in 2018, 2019, when the censorship was starting to rise. This was us. We had to get away into the corners of the internet that would have us. And now it's funny. Now it's the BBC that has to run away, you know, that has to make their own website. The thing is, we could keep Gab alive. We could keep the blockchain alive. We could keep Odyssey alive as we were running away from censorship. But they're not running away from censorship. They're running away from the free market. That is what's the most hilarious thing. It's like, what you're really pissed at is that Elon Musk has made Twitter fair again, relatively fair, so that you don't get a special privilege for being a leftist. You don't get your competition to be abolished. You don't get the cartel you've always been dreaming of. And so, while we were able to keep alternative platform because there was legitimate demand for our talking points, you going to Mastodon means nothing. No one will go there. Because leftists, no one cares what they have to say. They are simply not fit for the free market. They always need violence, oppression, and force to force people to get their points, or intimidation, or self-censorship. And ultimately, not only are most people not interested in hearing what they have to say, they are not even interested in hearing themselves among themselves. What they are interested in is not the content that they produce, it's the domination of the public space that they can create as an impression. Leftists are interested in winning. They're not interested in the content itself. So create an alternate platform like this for leftists and normies. No one will want to go there. And finally, as a last news item before we close the show, and I've been yawning so much because I have to go sleep. I will take some slices of the wonderful cheese I've been buying. Wonderful cheeses of all sorts. I'll take a couple of slices and then I'm going to bed. Pittsburgh synagogue shooter Robert Bowers is sentenced to death. This was the man who was on Gab and who had said, if I remember correctly, he had said something like, fuck the optics, I'm going in. And he had gone on a shooting spree in the Tree of Life synagogue with the goal of killing Jews. He has been found guilty, of course. He killed 11 worshippers at the Tree of Life synagogue in 2018. And he will have the death sentence for this. That is it for tonight, boys. Much love. Shout out to our friend Coach Red Pill, who's probably hanging out in a Ukrainian jail cell, maybe getting extorted. I don't know, but much love to him and much love to you all. I will see you all tomorrow.